Okay. Just talking about race and relationships.
All right. Well, I'm going to just go ahead and start it. This is Graham Watkins here on February, what is it? 29th leap year, 2020. And talking with Frank and Battle Watkins. Sun's looking beautiful. All right, cool.
What off the top of your head, what do you remember about Ray Harwood and your relationship with him?
It was good. He was quite a, he worked like 57 years for Inco Corporation. He never missed a day. He got all kind of awards as he passed, timelines that they had. He had worked all different shifts. And rayon, that was, Inco was a place where they made rayon for tires and did a lot of things for your military during World War II and following. What I can remember is that sometimes he would ride the bus out there, sometimes he would get a ride with somebody and leave Mrs. Harwood the car so that he would tie up the car all day and allowed her to use it. Was very, tight with his money. He was budgeted real well and provided well for his family, his wife and two daughters. Very diligent along that line. Very efficient in his work. He had been a, what they call a millwright in a factory. Millwrights were named that because they were mechanics. They would work on the different machinery that was making the artificial yarn. And so he and had a crew, was usually two or three of them worked for the same crew. And I can imagine just thinking back what he told me, how they would go from machine to machine to make sure they were running all the time efficiently. And I remember he worked there like 57 years. And when he told me what his state retirement, what his retirement was from Inca, working that many years, he was remembering they had a union there and he belonged to the union. And seemed like his state, Inca
pension
was like $283 a month, which floored me to think, anybody worked that long and that's all their pension would be. Of course, he also drew Social Security, with that because of age. But compared to what school educators in North Carolina make in state retirement is probably a fifth of what somebody working for the state of North Carolina would be pulling in.
Right.
As far as his membership in the Confederate Veterans group, being he was born in county it was. It was out in
Jackson
County up in the far western part of the state, Robbinsville. He, his great-grandfather had participated in Confederate military and mostly on the, it was kind of a home guard type thing he was involved in, and which meant it was there just to protect the region, from any kind of northern invasion.
That's what was? That's what?
He was the...
In the Thomas Legion.
Yeah.
So it was made up of Native Americans and... Whites. They're pretty well known. I don't think they only stayed in Robbinsville. I think they went on.
This was the great grandfather was?
His great grandfather was participated in that group, and I think they went over and fought some battles over in Tennessee because they were not far from the Tennessee line. Mm. There was more fighting going on over in Tennessee than it was in Western North Carolina.
Right.
And he was the president of the club, and then from that he got into, along with his artifact, Indian artifacts that he had, Marguerite, his wife, accumulated. Had quite a collection, but he also got into later. He got into going around where there were Civil War mini balls that were found in different areas where the fighting went on. So he got into more Confederate stuff at the end, collecting bullets and find them in walls and in different places where they'd struck, you know, different objects. And he even went down on the coast of North Carolina and did some fighting down there, and where they found some things actually below water surface.
Really?
And had quite a collection of those. He was devoted to his wife, Marguerite, very much. Loved his daughters. He's kind of a loner in a lot of ways. I know a lot of times Mrs. Harwood would come to visit us, or we'd take her on a trip, and he would stay home. He didn't go on all these trips that we were taking her on, or she wanted to go on. Other than trips to Alabama, where his brother-in-law, Jack Cameron, Marguerite's brother, he was also involved in archaeology as well as some other things. And
I think he's the one that got Ray interested in archaeology.
Yeah.
In arrowheads.
Right.
That's what you told me. I don't think Ray was interested originally in that. He learned that from Jack.
Yeah, Jack. That's true. And they belong to the Alabama Archaeological Society. They belong to the North Carolina Archaeological Society. Hmm. And I remember talking about James Coe at Carolina, at University of North Carolina, was involved with him some. If you want to look up the Coe name.
James Coe.
Did I say James?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
James Coe, who was the head of the archaeology department at Chapel Hill, Carolina, for years. And so we did some digs with that group. I think they had a group in Warren Wilson there near Nashville.
So my mom and papa all had a relationship, Graham, with this guy, James Coe, through some of these common groups that did digs. Mm-hmm. And part of their collection, from what I understand, ended up going to UNC. Is that correct?
Yes.
Frank, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So UNC has some of the Harwood's
collection
of some kind. Indian artifacts.
Carolina did quite a bit of excavation at Warren Wilson College, which is between Nashville and Black Mountain. Mm. This college there called Warren Wilson. And, they had a lot of fields that were, when they were plowed up. Warren Wilson's a lot like Berea College, and its students worked part of their expenses at school. And so they did some work out there, some digs. Most of their digging took place in Tennessee, at some areas where the Indian population was pretty big.
Okay.
And some of it even before they did the TVA lakes, when they dammed up the lakes out there. They had a lot of flooding in East Tennessee. And then they dammed it up and became one of the TVA lakes. Tennessee Valley Authority.
Mm. Were they more interested in the, or more into the kind of Native American excavation or the Civil War?
Marguerite, his wife, Mrs. Harwood, never was really interested in the Civil War support.
Mm.
She had no interest in that. Her interest was doing digs. You know, went over with the University of Tennessee, University of Alabama, worked some of the projects where they were excavating Indian ruins and fields.
So that was Ray's cup of tea, is what he's asking. The Civil War.
But she liked it. I went with her a few times up toward Inca there, and went over to Madison County, several counties with them. Lynette wanted to go, and so I'd go. It'd be Saturdays sometime. We'd go out in the fields and cave shelters where Indians had used, for protective. It just wasn't really a cave. It was more of like a rock overhang. Mm-hmm. And you could find, they'd dig up some of the fire, remains, some of the wood, the charcoal, where the Indians had. And then sometimes they'd find artifacts around, especially pottery.
Right.
Indian pottery, and they had some whole pieces of pottery that Indians had made. They had Indian head, arrowheads, knives or scrapers, which they scraped animals with to get their hide or skin off.
And her interest in that came from her childhood and?
From her brother. Yeah, Marguerite and Ray would go down to Alabama every summer, and they'd get up with Jack Pembroke, and they would go into along the riverbanks there. I think it's the Tennessee River or a tributary, and ran into North Alabama, and they actually did some spelunking when they went back in these caves.
Mm.
And also found bones, skeletons, those kind of things that were Indian burials.
Hmm.
And even though that's illegal to do that, they had some there in his basement. I don't know if you ever saw it, battle and some of the remains. Skeleton of a child that had been buried in a pot.
They found an Indian pot.
So,
Graham asked you a question about some of my mom's interest in Native Americans being her childhood.
Yeah.
Something I shared with him is stories about a relationship with Cherokee Indians coming across the mountain into her store that her dad ran. Do you remember anything about that?
Yeah, her dad had a store there between Maggie Valley and Cherokee. Mm. It's just a short stretch from Maggie Valley and which Waynesville and Haywood County over the mountain and down the other side you were in Cherokee, or Cherokee Reservation area. And her dad had a store, trading post store, kind of back in that area, and she told stories about times when, the Indians would come walk over the mountain to his store. Do some trading with him.
Right.
And so just what Marguerite told me was quite a big deal. It had really gone on a long time. And of course their music that they got into with the street instruments was, from her parents, from the Camberts, came from that side, not the Harwood side. Even though Ray learned to strum the guitar and, jam with him, but as far as banjo and the fiddle and the guitar,
Dulcimer.
Yeah. Woodrow Cameron, who's the brother, was really involved in that. More so than the our artifact dealer, but not it's Woodrow was. They jammed every Saturday night. When the hard battle was small, we'd go over to the Woodrow's house or Ray's, Marguerite's house on Saturday night and listen to them jam.
Hmm.
And sit around. It's not because they're every Saturday night.
No. You used to do Sunday lunches or something as well? Or?
Yeah, we kind of, it's kind of like you guys going to the Baxley's, after church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And like we probably two or three Sundays a month, we'd go over to the Harwoods there in West Asheville.
Hmm.
And I guess Battle and Harden remember a little bit of that. Marguerite's favorite meal was she did a roast beef and chunk of meat. It was part of, I guess, a special part of the beef. I can remember her, you know, it was one of her favorite things to cook.
Yeah.
And on special occasions. And we did all every Thanksgiving, you know, over there, and every Christmas we'd have dinner over there. So it's just kind of something we, you know, we didn't live that far away, so we would go over there on Sundays. I helped him paint his house. I was climbing up on that. Climbed up on his roof there in West Ashville. So I'd go over to hell. Later, when Ray couldn't, his health was going down, I used to cut his grass up in the lawnmower over and try to crank up his old mower.
Yeah, now, what was your relationship with him like, but also Nanny's? Because I know, you know, he at first didn't really approve of y'all's relationship.
Yeah.
I know Nanny kind of veered from the path that he had kind of for her. So what was that kind of like?
Yeah. Well, Marguerite was always opposite. She was always never a problem, always a promoter of our relationship. But his problem was he'd go, every Sunday he'd go up to his mother's and dad's house. And the dad died, and Ray's dad died on a Saturday when Lynette and I were married in Charlotte. We didn't have the wedding. Lynette wanted to have the wedding at West Asheville Baptist, and that was fine with me. But then we went up and talked to the minister there, and he said, I don't want to go against Ray's feelings about it, as we told him, you know. And so that's why we went to Charlotte and had the wedding there at the First Baptist Church. The chapel there. The old church was right across from Discovery Place, right there. Church there. And since they built a new Baptist church. Anyway, he got together with his mother and his some of his sisters. He had two sisters that lived in West Asheville. And I think it was just all a lot of negativism, a lot of, you know, Frank's not good enough, or, you know, not. People have their own big ideas about who somebody should marry and who shouldn't marry. But it was evident he wasn't in favor. And I don't know why, but I just think it's just, you know, it's just a bunch of gossip on Sundays in his mother's house.
So you were able to kind of get over that and forgive him for that?
Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, yeah. He came around later. He never was really affectionate toward Hardener Battle like all of us. You know, they were always, you know, only grandchildren, so, you know, she was noted on them and loved them. So I think because of his attitude toward me at first, I think, you know, had something to do with Marguerite had a nervous breakdown about that time. And Linda and I talked about that later, and she contributed to his upsetting her over that, relationship. But yeah, we got along fine after that. You know, we painted his house and did so, cut his grass for him, and used to take him food after they got where, you know, they weren't cooking much. And,
I think, to interject a little bit here, I think, you know, my mom's other mental health stay was later, much later than after when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So you said that, but I don't really correlate that because mom's miscarriage may have had something to do with my mom's mental health. Because Shannon and I were talking about it, and it seems like my mom told Shannon that at one time in one conversation, which surprised me, but that.
Yeah.
That contributed to her stress when mom
I think she went through two periods of mental issues. And one was not too long after we were married, and I always contribute to Ray, but probably harassing her, you know, being negative. And then there was a later period when you
That's the one
about,
I remember.
Yeah, there was two periods of that.
Now, one thing that my dad was mentioning was kind of my mom's faith being pretty present. Is that something you remember that her kind of living by and being an important part that impacted you? What do you remember about that?
Yeah, I mean, she was always positive. I mean, you know, she was just, you know, I never saw anything negative coming from her toward me or...
Her faith in Christ, more like her faith, how she lived out her faith.
Yeah, I think she did, yeah. But, I mean, I'd go over on weekends if Lynette was home, and I'd spend the night sleep on the couch. And when I was in Morris Hill, and then when she would drive me over. Ray, I don't remember Bay doing it. Take me over to where Merriman Avenue started there, going out toward UNCA in Weaverville, and set me out there, and I would hitchhike from there back to Mars Hill, which really didn't take much time to find a ride. But yeah, she'd always take me over to that point where it was just a direct route, you know, to get a ride.
She led a Sunday school class or something like that?
Yeah, she had... Well, you know, when you went on your mission trips, didn't you come back and talk to some of her women's groups that she belonged to?
I did.
Yeah.
She also had little kids. She taught little kids for years in Sunday school class. In the West Asheville Baptist.
Yeah.
She was very faithful to that church.
She was.
In lots of ways.
Yeah, tied to that church. Faithful member of that church. That's the only church I can remember them talking about, really. Is when I met Lynette, that's where they were going to church. Pretty good sized church there in West Asheville.
What do you think, to follow up on Grant's question, what do you think made her different in that way with the spirit that she had and kindness that she showed people?
I think it's generated through the Camerons and their mother. And Dad, mostly her mother, or Rich's mother, Lynette. She was going to junior high school there, and she only lived about 3 or 4 blocks from them. So Lynette would walk up to her house after school was out, which was in a different direction from where she lived. And she would go up there, and her grandmother would take her shopping. Go downtown and buy cloth, and then she'd come home, sew her a dress, and make her. One other thing, let talk about her, how she made fudge. So I think a lot of it came from what's her name?
Carrie Bell.
Cameron. Campbell. Well, her maiden name was.
I should know.
Cameron. Cameron. I think it all came from her home, her feeling, her religious strength came from, she's grounded real well in that through, you know, growing up. And I think Ray went to church, but I don't know how much. The old time religion.
What does that mean?
It means if you believe in
Do you think it's easier to go this way?
For my spot
and to go Manning? Yes?
Yeah.
Old time religion means, you know, you believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Baptism is important.
Oh, no, it's left here.
It was important to my mother, too. My mother made sure every one of us were baptized.
And
in her mind, it meant something. It meant, remember, Kay and I were baptized at the same time in the baptismal pool up at First Baptist Church in Charlotte. We went to a mission church that was started by the First Baptist, and it was just an old business building. Might have been a store or something. They converted to church. And,
it's right here.
We, they didn't have a baptismal pool at this little church. Mm-hmm. And so we, you know, people that belonged to the mission church went there for the baptisms. And Kay and I the same day. There was something important to mother. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure, you know, some people don't think baptism's that important, but in her mind it was.
Now the question is, were you baptized, like, just as a little kid because she wanted to, or because you made a profession of faith?
No, I was 16 years old.
Or really? Long green.
Kay was 14. Kay was 15. So we were in high school.
You had the ability to make your own decision
being
baptized.
Yeah, we made a decision in the mission church, but we knew, you know.
Left.
Anything else, Graham, before I jump out? Call me, I'll be glad to.
Yeah, I guess.
By phone or something.
One last question was just, you know, your interactions with Zola, the lady that they had working at their house, and what her role was. And it's this right to the right.
Well, she was an older lady. She was a dear lady. She's sweet, and though, you know, Mom always used the word colored. Talking to people about other colored people, but she was not mean or ugly about anything she ever said, you know, just colored. But Zola was a loyal friend of hers who came once a week and did ironing, for mainly ironing, but she also did some other chores for Mama or Marguerite. And so I would say she's probably one of the best friends she ever had.
Really?
With Zola, yeah. And I met her a time or two. I was there when she came. Might have been summertime or something. I was up there. But, yeah, just, you can imagine, just a black lady, an old black lady with, you know, probably failing health when I saw her. And she had a son that lived somewhere down this way. And she was always talking, telling Marguerite about, you know, her family, and so, but she was very fond of her and cared a lot for her. And I don't know what she paid her, you know. A lot of times black people ladies would go into homes and work for people. I know my mother had, I mean, she was working, daddy was working, and a lot of times when we'd come home from school, there's a couple of times we had a black lady be cooking our evening meal for us. And my mother paid her. I mean, you know, they did that kind of work because they could make a little money. Mm. You know, couldn't get another job doing something else. So that was a pretty, you know, you've seen the movie The Help.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that involved with raising children as much as it was. And Lynette might tell you, yes, she had something to do with her upbringing too, but and I'm sure there were some other things that went on there.
Was she there long term, do you think, over many years?
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'd say 7 or 8 years probably coming there. And
Lenny can probably tell you more about Zola too, since she was at the helm.
I don't remember. I don't know what Zola's last name was. She didn't live too far away. I think she could walk there. Her son would bring her over to Harwoods.
Yeah.
But I think she lived between West Asheville and Asheville somewhere in that, you know, those couple pockets of where the African-American people lived, you know. Mm-hmm. Like most cities and towns are segregated a little bit by, you know, it's like Southeast Rawlings.
Right, right. No, that's great. I think that's just a good start, and give us some more things to talk about in the future.
Yeah.
And we'll be good for the first interview.
All right.
So I appreciate
you. You're welcome, man.
Doing that.